Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
All right, race fans, how the hell are you? It's another episode of Race Chat Live. A couple of minutes late coming on to the air. Want to wish a big happy birthday to Taz Taylor. He's got the night off. I think he's 23, 24, maybe 25. Happy birthday, Taz. Enjoy your night off. But have you back next week. I've got my co-host and partner in crime here tonight, Mr. Craig Moore. We'll bring him on. Mr. Craig Moore, how the hell are you? I had to turn them Grammys down, man. Is that you there, Craig Moore?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, that's not Craig Moore.
No, this is Tom Barron. Come back to me later.
Oh, yes, sir. We definitely will. We definitely will. Wait, there's Craig Moore. Hey, y'all almost had the same number. That's what threw me off. So y'all both have a 2 in the last part of your number. You both have a 6, and his number is 866. So that's as much as I'll give away, man. But they were eerily similar. It threw me off there. I'll put you on. All right, Craig Moore. Well, I made a whoopsie just then, buddy.
Why? How'd you do that, young man?
Well, I went ahead and brought our guest on because his number was eerily similar to yours. And if you're looking at the same one I'm looking at, my goodness gracious. So, yeah, I was in full introduction mode and had brought you on to the host line. And lo and behold, it was our guest.
Nice. Well, how are we doing, Mr. Barron?
Oh, well, let me bring him on into the studio. It's a little bit early, but, I mean, he's called in early. I guess we could move how you
I'm
doing?
Good. Hey, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. Why don't I just host the show with you?
You know what? That'll work, too.
That'll work.
Before we get into what's going on at Caroga Creek, let's talk about the shit show that was CODA.
Oh, you guys are going to have to do that one without me because I didn't get to watch it. I was too busy.
I didn't get to watch it either because it was on FS1. And
then how do you call it a shit show? How do you call it a shit show if you didn't get to watch it?
Because you know what?
It's very hard to call these shit shows if you're not available to catch it. You do a racing show. But we'll let you slide.
Hey, he's probably just going by what Harvick had to say. You know, he's a credible.
No,
racer.
I think that I was listening to
for most of the time. Somewhat. Harvick is credible, but he pissed me off with what he said this time because I mean, my gosh, you know, they cry about the rain delays. Now they're crying about racing in the rain. You know, he's one of the more respectable drivers. I understand that he said, "quote." I better not quote, but that. He has never felt this unsafe in a race car. Does he not realize that he replaced a guy who lost his life in a race car? And it's not happened since. So, I mean, I understand that there was a sense of danger to the sport. But, you know, look, until NASCAR puts these cars out there in rain and finds out what can go wrong, it's a test. And that's exactly what we were doing with CODA. I don't even think these type of cars belonged on that type of speedway. So, you know, you have to bend sometimes. And, I hate that Harvick felt unsafe, but, you know, at the same time, it was something different for fans, and I sure as hell enjoyed it.
Well, I can tell you that the pinnacle of racing ends up racing in the rain as well. You know, Indy's always racing in the rain. But, you know, if they're going to test out the idea that they probably shouldn't do it live on TV with live lights, maybe they should go do some test runs like they do at any other racetrack when they're going to introduce a new brand new body style or something. I think maybe they should have done a little bit more testing on it to work the bugs out. I mean, they ventured out into dirt and their first trip out into dirt wasn't very successful at Bristol. I mean, they worked their way through it, and I thought they did a great job dealing with what they had to deal with, but they're trying – NASCAR is digging this year into, you know,
places of the unknown.
That's what they need to do, but I think maybe – I think that they're a large enough organization that they don't have to do guesswork. I guess that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, they shouldn't be guessing.
Dude, Craig Moore, you can follow me with this. With Chaz Thompson, he will get on his rant, and he'll say, we're talking about the best drivers in the freaking world. And in reality, that's how we perceive these drivers, correct, Craig? So to hear one of the best, when they're being challenged, they're actually finally being challenged at something, to hear the crybaby, I'll give it to Martin Truex Jr. He took the high road. I couldn't believe it. For the first time in his interview, the guy didn't just lay it out to blast somebody or something. I thought he made more sense in his interview than anybody. And, yeah, he admitted that there was some danger in it, but, you know, he definitely didn't come out like Harvick and just straight crush it. Craig.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen what our boy Kyle Busch had to say about it either, but I don't know if – I think torrential downpours, when you can't see – and I think that was the biggest bitch I heard all day, was that people – you couldn't see. The wipers just weren't keeping up. And there was a huge pileup from what I read, and which caused the major accident. Correct, Chris?
Yeah. Well, there was several incidents that were, you know, accumulated to basically a big one. Most of the wrecks were within three or four cars, because you know a lot of these cars were spread out over a 3 mile long racetrack. So. Definitely the biggest track I believe that NASCAR has ever showed up to. 2 minutes and 18 seconds was a lap time, and that's I don't remember any NASCAR game with that with that long of a race. So, you know, there was several violent wrecks. The Cole Custer, Martin Truex Jr. wreck was one to see, and obviously Bubba Wallace never letting go, never letting out of the throttle and hitting Kevin Harvick into the wall, Christopher. But if you notice, a lot of drivers that I'm naming here were top drivers who were honestly pushing it too hard for the circumstances. And I know that you say, well, if they slowed down, they would wind up crashed out. They speed up, they wind up crashed out. But you know as well as I do, Craig, these guys are pushing it. They're the top drivers in the world. They are the top drivers. They probably could have slowed down a little bit. The only car that didn't seem to have any trouble was the first two, you know, and basically the number one car, because they didn't have to deal with the overspray. A lot of the track was dry. Most of the track was dry during parts of this race, other than when it was a little bit of rain coming down. But there were certain parts of the track where they had such a high rate of speed. 160 miles an hour was the rate of speed that was going when Cole Custer ran into the back of Martin Truex or something to that. Yeah, it was horrific. It really was. And I'm glad Cole Custer is okay. But when there's a straightaway covered in water and it's spray everywhere and you're, you know, just hauling ass down it, there's going to be problems that happen. But all in all, I was pretty damn excited, except for the end when NASCAR gave it to their golden boy.
Well, yeah. Well, Miss Lee is happy.
I'm sure she is.
Let's not rain on her parade. She is happy, and she's still in last place, but she's still happy.
Well, that helps, though. That really, you know, you just threw her under the bus by saying she was in last place there, Craig. You should definitely think about sending flowers.
I will send her flowers. Miss Lee, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you're still in last place. But not by too many points. We'll go over the overall points in a little while.
Flowers?
Hey.
Flowers.
Yeah.
He probably wants race car parts.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't mean flowers. Race car parts.
Well, I can't afford all that. Well, I don't know. Flowers are just as expensive, so I don't know. We'll have to see.
Jason, our fearless leader of the 110 Nation, Sports asked, and why in the middle of the windshield and on-off position, like who thought to block their vision with a blade would not even be
used? Yeah, I was wondering. I always wondered that myself. That's a pretty asinine move.
You know, NASCAR is all about innovation. That's how we've gotten to where we are today. Somebody's going to get this stuff figured out. Just like, I believe, Penske, if you didn't see the performance Austin Cindric was having in that 33 car, you know, Penske is made for these kind of places. And Austin Cindric, man, I'll tell you what, you give him a couple more races under his belt, and Chase Elliott's going to definitely have a contender at some of these road course races.
Miss Lee did just say Flowers and race car parts. That's a hard choice. But listen, I think the thing that we'll get back to this Coda disaster in a little while. What about Brad Keselowski leaving? Leaving
bad news. Go ahead.
That's a little the baby. I don't know what to get with it. That was a little not disturbing, but surprising.
Well, it broke about 9 hours after our show last week, and I've just been dying all week long to talk about this because it is something straight out of a Chris Yellow Caution Flag Creighton conspiracy theory. Brad Keselowski rumored to already have signed the deal of partnership with Roush Fenway Racing. He will become an owner partner with the Roush Fenway Group. It would be the RFK, which is really crazy. RFK race team. That would be Roush Fenway Keselowski. This is a big move, and it's really, as we've seen Denny Hamlin, as we've seen Tony Stewart go in this direction, this is the way to make sure that you end your career on your own and not by somebody else's attire.
Well, I don't know if it's a really good move in history. I would say that Michael Waltrip gave it a shot. Even his brother Darrell gave it a shot. Both were flops. I don't see Stuart Haas lighting up the track this year.
Concerning.
You know, what do they got? They got Harvick, who's, in my opinion, the staple driver. I mean, he's one of the top five drivers in NASCAR as it is. And their organization isn't, you know, they're not lighting it up. So I don't know if going into owning your own team or being a partner in the team is the right thing for a driver to do to save his, you know, to solidify his career.
Well, I think it's kind of funny that he got out of owning a truck team. And now he's, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, he's jumping into probably a 40-60 split, unless it's a 50-50 for sure, split of Roush Fenway. That just tells me that the Cat in the Hat is getting ready to go to the Pet Cemetery soon, or preparing for it. And, you know, Brad thought that this was a good way to help maybe turn Roush Fenway around.
I said before that Stuart Haas was created. This was how the book was supposed to be written. When Stuart Haas first came about, they made sure that they had enough money in the pot to buy what they needed, which was cars straight from the garage of Hendrick Motorsports. And that was why almost immediately Tony Stewart was driving the same equipment that Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson was. That's why he was able to go to a championship and beat Carl Edwards in 2012.
Well, he did that because he's Tony Stewart. First of all, he's a phenomenal racer.
And Brad Keselowski is a phenomenal racer as well. Now, the question is, will Brad Keselowski attract enough sponsorship? Because we're already seeing it fail with Bubba Wallace. He has a lot of money, and we're still seeing a 20-plus place finisher. But Brad Keselowski is a higher caliber driver, and this Roush Fenway has made tremendous strides in the last couple of years. They are the backing of Ford, right? Roush has never left Ford. Penske's left Ford twice. So Roush has this deal with Ford. There's a new Mustang coming out. There's been manufacturing support put in. And Keselowski, obviously, you know, he has his own company that he's created. They make internal parts, basically, I think, like 3D machines and stuff like that, or whatever. You know, they design things anyway. So this could be a perfect fit. Of course, Roush, a big-time innovator. We could see this to be a great marriage, and I think that since the Kyle Petty Wood Brothers marriage, this is the best marriage that could ever happen. I hope that it's a done deal.
I hope.
Well,
go ahead, Tom.
I always hope whatever anybody else does will be a success. I don't want to see anybody fail, including people I don't even like. But, you know, I want to see people succeed, and hopefully they have the recipe to succeed. As far as, you know, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to get off the topic because I'm not a Bubba Wallace fan, per se.
Well, neither are we.
But for him, it's more of a marketing thing. It's more of a,
absolutely.
You know, their goal with him isn't to win races. Their goal with him is to generate money. From the fans, from the market base, and the target audience. And they're doing a fine job with that. I mean, they're doing a fine job. He doesn't need to win a race in order to fund that team. All he's got to do is, unfortunately, be himself.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and one of the few that can actually do that, right? I mean, he's one of the very few that can that can sell his name and is profitable. Look at what William Byron is doing. And William Byron has had sponsorship questioning ever since his years at Kyle Busch Racing. You know, I guess Liberty School has stepped up a lot for William Byron, but that guy is the most consistent guy on the racetrack, and he's yet to have a full year sponsorship from in his entire Cup career. So, you know, it's amazing the type of money, $40 million plus, that Bubba Wallace was able to bring to the table. And you're exactly right. Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan, they're capitalizing. They are building a franchise through the money that's coming through of the marketing of Bubba Wallace. And I know, Greg, if you didn't see the interview where they tried to once again interview this guy, he didn't have the time for the public. He had to send Mike Wheeler, his crew chief, to the microphone. So we were once again disappointed with the no-show interview. As a matter of fact, we should call him the possum. The possum, Bubba
Hey,
Wallace.
Listen, not coming to the microphone and not doing anything that you're supposed to do in order to get the popularity that you need to get seems to be the common thing. Stay hidden in the shadows, and it'll work out for you. We've seen it in politics. We're going to see it in racing now. So I think that you know, they don't really want him on the microphone. Be honest with you, he's not a likable guy. I've seen his interviews, even before all this stuff, back when he was a truck star. He's not a likable guy, in my opinion. Of course, my opinion doesn't count for much. So,
does on this show?
No.
Yeah, it does on this show. We love opinions.
Yeah,
it gets you popularity points.
Oh,
exactly.
Well, then I would be a really popular guy on your show because I got a lot of opinions. I just tend to keep to myself.
I would rather you disagree with me and us have a great chat about it than for it to just sit here and talk about stats and this person finished in this place and all. I don't think that's how me and Craig have ever conducted a show. We always want you to know what we feel about it, and then try to meet in the middle. Just like Mr. CJ Sports is listening to us, our director that takes care of the weekly bill here. He'll chime in. He'll let us know when we're doing good, but he'll also listen to the guests and add stuff to it. So,
Miss Lee chimed in. Miss Lee chimed in and said, younger drivers are taking a cue from Tony Stewart now if they could just have the same success. And right. By younger, she's talking about, you know, Brad Kay. Right.
36 years old is the age of Brad Keselowski, 36.
Yeah.
And he's already thinking about the outlay. And Denny Hamlin,
right.
I think, is even younger, 34. So, you know, these drivers are guaranteeing themselves, as long as they are still marketable, they'll be able to bring in funding to keep their racing careers afloat when they feel like, because we all know what Penske does, right? They either convince you to retire or he lets you go. You know, Rusty Wallace, he's admitted in his interview that he was talked into retiring too early, and for 2 or 3 years thereafter, it just killed him to know that he wasn't out there racing.
Right.
So, you know, Keselowski was forced to make a choice.
I definitely agree, Rusty retired way too early, especially since he was my driver. So I haven't found another favorite driver since him, to be honest with you. So
that's amazing. Well, CJ, are you on air? I don't know if he's there or not.
No, I don't believe so.
I thought I heard his deep baritone voice chime in. But, you know, I think that Keselowski is looking for a way, like you said, his out. And it's a way for him to still stay in the Ford family, but yet secure his retirement. Not that, you know, he's going to have to worry about Social Security, you know, or anything like that, because he's set. So... But I think it's a way for him to secure a future for his children, and you know, well, that's what we all want is a secure future for our children, no matter how old they are.
So, if you were Brad Keselowski, Craig, and let's speak hypothetically here, you're Brad Keselowski. You know that after last year, that was a 1-year deal that they put together to keep you, because basically you're Brad Keselowski, and you're figuring, hey, Hendrick Motorsports is going to call me, right? They let me go years ago, but Mr. Hendrick said, hey, I'm going to bring you back because you're my guy. Well, they turned their back on Keselowski one time. Now Keselowski gets the back turned on him again. So now, you know, Ford's like, hey, you know, this is our guy right here. We've got to make sure that we help him out. And if you had the choice between Stuart Haas or Roush, Which one would you choose and why? Knowing both are Ford staples.
Which would I choose and why? Well, Roush is offering him ownership.
Right.
SHR is going to offer him a driver's position.
Right.
I would go with the owner's title. And again, knowing that I'm going to be part owner, I'm going to be more of a decision maker than I will be. You're going to listen to me as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're going to listen to me as a driver. Let's say that you're Tony Stewart. You're going to listen to me as a driver. You might even respect me a tad.
And Roush has been known to lean on a driver. Mark Martin, Carl
right.
Edwards, right? I mean, there's already history here. Go ahead.
So now you're going to, and then you have the flip side of you're an owner, you're part owner, whether it's 40 or 50% or 51%, I'm guessing that it's going to be 50. You have half the say of what goes into the organization, what comes out of the organization. As just a driver, you have say, but it's not going to hold a lot of weight. So I think if it were me, I would go with the owner-driver role because it's more lucrative for me in the long run. And who knows how long his deal as a driver is going to last with Roush Fenway. It could last 1 year. He could end up in 2022, midway through the 2022 season, and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm done.
I'm ready for the ownership role.
Right. I want to concentrate on owning. I want to concentrate on sponsors. I'm a likable type guy.
Even though
I got a big ass nose and big
he
fat
lips. He
looks
like Beavis or Butthead. He looks like Butthead. I mean, he really does.
Well, which one, you know who Luke Bryan is? Luke Bryan looks like one of them, and I can't think of who. I think it's Butthead or Beavis. One with the long chin. The one with the long chin. I can't stand Luke Bryan.
I guess Joey would technically be Butthead and Brad Beavis. But either way, I mean, you know, he's still a likable guy.
He would be smart. Yeah, no, absolutely. He is a likable guy. And he's a marketable guy.
That's Patriot flag, man. I mean, you know, the American flag. I mean, he stands up for the troops. He's exactly the protege that NASCAR needed at the time.
Right, exactly. So I think that it's in his best interest, both financially and as a both financially for a team owner and respect-wise to be on the ownership. And I'll admit, it took a little while for me to get on the Tony Stewart ownership bandwagon while he was a driver. Obviously, Denny don't care because he curses out his driver and calls him all sorts of names.
Yeah.
During a race.
Careful
yeah.
now, Denny.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, listen, like I said before, I am not a big Bubba Wallace fan, but what Bubba did at Daytona was race. What Denny did at Daytona was complain and cry. I'm sorry. If it was Eddie, I want to see a race. I don't want to see the boss expecting the employee to give him a break.
No.
Or push him ahead or whatever. I mean, what was Bubba? Bubba was getting ready to go a lap down. He just wasn't giving it up or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't working with the teammates. And, well, Bubba didn't want to go a lap down.
Right.
So,
and it means something.
Yeah,
it does. There's a caution
right.
comes
He's
out and your whole race changes.
Spots.
Right.
As far
we
as
don't
I'm concerned, Hamlin sounded like a crybaby.
We don't bitch about Ryan Newman. We know who Joe Logano is out on the racetrack. So Bubba Wallace is making a statement that he's that type of driver too. He's not gonna give up the position.
He
That's
shouldn't have to
track.
Give up his position just because the boss is right behind him trying to put him a lap down. He shouldn't have to do that. Listen, I own a trucking company,
right.
and if I'm going down I-88 and one of my drivers in front of me and I want to get around him, he don't give me the lane. And that's in a truck going down a freaking highway.
Well, you put in the overdrive, huh? Drop her a gear.
Boom. But when
that's
he does get back to the shop.
Get the hell out of the way.
No. When he gets back to the shop, I turn his truck down to 65. That's what I do.
Well, that isn't too hard on 88, for Christ's sake. All that construction, good God, you know, at Cobble scale, that's ridiculous.
Well, race fans, we've been entertained already by Tom Vare, and he is actually our guest tonight, who's somehow or another wound up as a co-host since Taz is off, which I tell you what, we breezed through the first 30 minutes there, Craig.
Yeah, we did. So I guess we'll officially bring on our guest. And introduce him. He is the owner and promoter at Creek Raceway Park here in Ephrata, New York. His season opened up this past weekend. Did it not open up?
We're not open for points yet. Our first points race is going to be June 1st. I've had plenty of practice sessions, and you know, I've been trying to give as much seat time to the newbies as we can get. So we have a ton of new people coming into the sport, and they just never seem to get enough seat time. And what I've done is open the track up and let the new people come into the sport and get as much seat time as they can, rather than trying to do it at a race night at another track. You just never seem to get enough time. So
no.
All the new families or all the new racers are welcome at Caroga Creek, and there's always going to be seat time available for them.
So what type of Craig, you going to hold
go
this?
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. No,
yeah,
go ahead,
I mean,
Chris.
So just to inform to the guests and all, when we say that people are promoters or they run racetracks, exactly what type of racing can be seen, and what type of racetrack is it? How big is it? What type of race cars do you race?
We have slingshots that run there regularly. It's probably the most competitive slingshot racetrack that's up here. You got some of the larger tracks, and it's a beautiful track. Glen Ridge and Utica Rome has a really good thing going on, and I think Malta's doing some too. But our little eighth-mile track is the place for action. For the slingshots.
Uh-huh.
And those larger tracks, they just kind of fan out. And, you know, they get in a single file freight train racing, and you might as well just go on down to Fonda and watch the trains go by. But at my track, you see some side by side, you see some people up on the top, you see who's got it, you see who doesn't have it. So it's the real racing that racers and fans want to see with the slingshots. Now, We also have the WCRS that runs there regularly, the Wing Champ Racing Series, and the carts, flat carts, and a couple modified Wing Champ classes, and the Heavy Tire Predator, which is a really fun class. So we got kids. We got anything from kids all the way up to slingshots.
Right. So these slingshots that you talk about, but you describe the type of body and also the motor. I believe it's a Yamaha motor, right? It's a motorcycle motor, right?
Actually, I think it's a Briggs. I think it's a Briggs.
Okay.
I don't know the class that well. I don't know the rules all that well. All I know is there's a book, and my tech inspector has to look at it. That's what I know.
All right. But you can tell me a little bit more about the racetrack, though. It's okay, I understand that side of it, and that's why you hire a tech man. Tell us about the you said it's an eighth-mile speedway. Is it high banks? Is it flat track?
We got some bank. It's not a high bank. It's not a flat track. I haven't figured out the actual degree of the track. I took a slingshot out there myself and said, you know what, throw a little more pitch in the bank. I took a slingshot. I took a Wing Champ out, said, you know, we need to be here. I took a flat cart out and said, I'd like to change the track. That track has been, I personally went out and drove it myself to get the kind of racing that I want to see. I can't even explain to you how much I hate freight train racing. To me, that's the most boring thing in the world. I don't like knowing that the guy that's starting on a pole is going to win. Right. And we saw evidence of that last year, that just doesn't happen. Brett Putman, my slingshot champion from 2020, he started in the rear, and he just cooked around the outside of people. He went on the outside of people and went on the inside of people, and he made one heck of a race. Joe Rando, great racing. I mean, there was just some great racing that these guys could do on that small track that was really fun to watch.
Right. So on the day-to-day operations, do you do the track prep, or what exactly is it that you do behind the scenes?
As of now, I do the track prep. Until about 2 weeks ago, I had never prepped a track in my life.
Oh, come on.
Couldn't tell me anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. I couldn't understand it, and I hired people to do it for me. Last year, I felt that the track could have been a little bit better, a little bit smoother. As a competitor myself, because not only do I just take what my competitors say, I say, let me go out there and feel it. And I came back in and said, that needs to be a lot smoother. And so we kept working on it last year. We ended up with a halfway decent surface last year. I won't even lie to you, the first trip out this year, junk. I actually refunded everybody who gave me money. Anybody that walked through my gate and gave me money, I gave it back to them and said, this track is not something you should be paying for. And then I went out and personally prepped the track myself for the next week, and it was smooth. It was a beautiful track. All I had to do was...
I remember seeing
work.
Pictures of that on Facebook. I believe it was on your page. And I'm like, whoa, that thing looks bad. And then a couple days later, I seen the photos. I was like, holy, that looks like glass. What a difference.
That was the cake topper for me. I said, you know what? My name and my reputation is on this. I better get my butt behind the equipment. And now this year I'm able to do that because I'm no longer driving truck as much as I was before. I'm now a part owner in Evolution Recycling and Trucking. And so it's I'm a little bit more available to be home, so I can now pay more attention to the track.
Excuse me. Well, that's good. Like you said, your name's attached to it, and your name's on it, and you're associated with it, so you want it to be.
Oh, yeah.
You want it to be pristine, and I get that, and I appreciate that. So what else do you have on – go ahead, Chris.
My question before I let Craig go is how quickly did you figure out the recipe? I mean, it seems like you had pretty good success early. Had you just watched about how much water, or how did you get it figured out so fast?
Well, it was a little bit of just common sense and science. You know, you look at it and you say, I got X amount of daylight and I got X amount of sun. You got to look at what tomorrow's going to bring. And you got to, you know, we were a daytime racetrack. So I couldn't prep the track the way Fonda does or any of the other racetracks do, because they have all day. If they overwater the track, they have all day for the sun to dry it out. I have about 6 hours. If the track is too wet, I don't have what they have. I have to be ready to rock and roll at 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't know whose TV is on too loud, but it's definitely over. I can't hear much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hear
there,
anything in the background.
It's gone now. Oh, there it is. Back again. So I didn't have what other racetracks have, and that was time during the day to get it just right. I had to be ready to rock and roll at 11 o'clock for hot laps to go out, which is not good, and it's not fair to the racer either. I mean, they're coming, they're paying money, and they want to have a pristine track to run on or as best as can be possible. So I've made a few decisions here this year. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to announce it now. You guys are the first ones to know, and I'm going to say it's been a rumor for a little while. Caruga Creek is switching to night racing, or evening racing. Gates will open up at 3. Hot laps are going to go out at 4. Heats are going to start at 5. And, you know, according to what we did during the day, we should all be out of there by 10:30, according to what we did last year. So we're not looking at 2 o'clock in the morning stuff. So.
Well, that's a definite plus. I think going to night racing for go-karts will be, and that will be cool. Now that's going to be effective the first race of the season.
First points race of the season. I had to make this decision before points started, because you can't switch your times after you've started points. So I'm starting it now before points even start. You can't make changes like that after people have already invested and set up their schedules according to what they have decided to do. And I'm just not one of those promoters, so I'm just saying it now. We're going to nights.
Nice. Now, you said it'll give better racing and they'll be out of there by 10:30. Does Ifreda have... Do they have a time limit as far as no? Is there?
No,
there's no noise ordinance.
To be honest with you, Freda, it's one of those. I'm lucky because I don't have any zoning laws there. So it's residential and it's commercial. I can basically do whatever I want to on the property whenever I want to on the property. But with that in mind, you have to keep in mind that the community has to deal with you. And right now you're afraid of the community loves the racetrack. It doesn't take much to reverse that sentiment. If you start being a pain in the butt or you start being an inconvenience, they're not going to love you anymore. They're going to want you gone. So you just got to, you have to use your mind and use your brain and use your courtesy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't want to piss off your neighbors.
Nope.
Not at all, because that would not be a good thing. What else do you have? I mean, I don't care. I live in the city of Gloversville. You get pissed off at me, I have kids wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep in. But, you know, outside banging on soda bottles with a base aluminum baseball bat. But, you know, what has been for this year, putting everything together, I mean, what was the sentiment of the drivers and the participants when you said, hey, we're going to go to the race?
I haven't really got a lot of feedback. The feedback that I have gotten, actually I've had a lot of requests from the drivers to go to nights, and I've gotten all those requests over the wintertime. And there was a few reasons why I didn't want to. One of those shit, you know, courtesy on the other hand, and concern about other tracks and other people and the racers. My goal is to make sure that people can race wherever they want, whenever they want. And I want racing, especially this type of racing, to succeed in New York. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I also have to keep in mind that I have an investment that I have to protect as well. So, and if my racers are requesting it, then I'm kind of have to go with it. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because, go ahead, Chris.
Is this a spectator sport? Do you make enough off the front gate, you know, or is this basically a back gate sport?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because I've only owned a racetrack during COVID. So I don't know about that aspect of it. I can tell you that I have been to kart tracks, and I've been to Caroga where there were spectators that paid to get in. A Dodge City Speedway, they seem to get a lot of spectators too. So, and Paulie Montanaro and his family, they do a phenomenal job up there. And they always have a really nice track.
With the surge of everybody finding something to do again, besides sitting around the TV watching Netflix and chill, how do you create that market to make sure that this becomes a spectator sport? I mean, you're defining what racing should be. You don't want no choo-choo train racing. You want side-by-side. Well, that's entertaining. And how do you sell that? How do you market that to the next fan?
It's going to take time. I think it's going to take video. It's going to take a lot of promotional things that I do. I haven't really hit the promotion side of things yet this year. Normally, you guys know, most people just mute me because they don't want to keep seeing my posts. I haven't started yet this year. Starting this week, I'm going to start up, and I'm probably going to irritate some people with what we got going on. You got to be relentless. It's got to be everywhere. And if I can put out the posts with videos and whatnot, showing that the type of racing that we have is first of all clean, second of all, we're not dealing with Jackamos on the racetrack, and that everybody plays by the same rules, which is the way that I run my show. I mean, we all know that it doesn't matter who you are. If you screw up, I don't care who you are. Perfect example is, first of all, me. I'm the only person ever to be suspended from the WCRS. And I'm the guy that runs the WCRS, but I'm the one that got suspended. So, because rules are rules. And the other thing is that it doesn't matter who comes through my gate. It could be a $5 million team coming through my gate with four people. They all pay 40 bucks. They all pay 10 bucks to get through my gate or whatever it is this year to get through my gate. So they paid 40 bucks. Well, so did the team that showed up in the back of a truck. They had four people with them. They all paid 40 bucks. I don't have a favorite. I don't care what your hauler looks like, which is one of the reasons why I'm probably not as well liked by some of the, you know, larger money teams or whatever, because they're not going to get cut a break from me. They're going to have to actually race.
Well, that's you're not there to be liked. You're there to run the track and run a business, and at the end of the day,
well,
that's exactly
kinda,
what it is a business.
Kind of, you have to be liked. Nobody's going to go support somebody they don't like, but. So long as the rules are the same for everybody, I'm not going to penalize somebody because they're more successful, and I'm not going to penalize somebody else because they're not as big of a draw on the competitor on the spectator side. Everybody has to be on the same level playing field.
Right.
It's very interesting that Tom says this because it's something, you know, I have a mentor that has taught me a lot of things. I was not from the racing side of business. I got adopted in, and I had an early mentor who taught me the basics. And then over the last 10 years, I've had a guy who's really just been there and explained things to me. And one of his first things that he taught me was don't penalize the racer because he's fast. Don't penalize, don't take that away from him. And I just heard you say that, Tom. You don't want to take away from somebody who's doing good. That's how you make your field better. Is you make it. Somebody's got to beat you, and somebody will beat you eventually. And you know, it seems to me that so many people want to make rule changes and come in and do this, you know, to keep. But really, that's what creates the exciting environment. Is when that young person comes up and beats that old cat. We've seen it with Rocky Warner right now, right, Craig? I mean, the squirrel was on top of his game for a long time, but now we see Matt Shepard and these other guys kind of, you know, who's in the spotlight now?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I think after a while you get tired. It's racing. We said this before. It's cyclical. You see the same people winning over and over again. Then all of a sudden they start to fall off, and there's a new crop that comes in and starts to put a hurting on the field. And you're like, whoa, where'd these guys come from? And they were there all along. They just needed to
in order to be the best, yeah. You got to beat the best, right?
Exactly. I can't even do it because my throat hurts. I was going to give you a woo, but my...
Be the best, you need to beat the best. I agree with that 100%.
Right.
And one of the other things that was taught to me when I was racing was in order to finish first, you must finish. So,
right. Very good. And sometimes you got to go
exactly.
Slow and go fast, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Real quick, Craig, let me get this real quick, and I'm turning back to you. You said your early years of racing, that's a pinpoint for us. How did this start? Where did this start at? Where did the passion for racing begin? And then I'll turn it to Craig.
Passion for racing begins with my brother. You know, he started racing at a very young age. He's really not even old enough to race, but he raced under somebody else's name in a street stock at Fonda. And we used to, you know, my brother used to sneak out and do what he does. And one time at Fonda, he was getting ready to go out on the grid, and he looks up, and there's my dad standing in front of his car. And my dad leaned in. He was supposed to be off doing something else and wasn't supposed to be racing because he was definitely forbidden from racing. My dad leaned in the car and said, "You're in trouble when you get out of the car, but for right now, you better go out and do good. You're in even more trouble if you don't do good." So that kind of incentivized my brother to do that. And he did pretty good that race, if I remember correctly. But
well, there was a threat of an ass beating on the line. So,
well, an even worse ass beating, I should say. So,
yeah.
It took me until I was 35 to even get into a race car. Life went in a different way for me. I started to be a father very early in my life, and I wouldn't trade that for the world, but it stalled off my racing ambitions for a very long time. At 35 years old, I was finally able to go out and did 1 year in four-cylinder racing, and then I got into sportsman racing. First year out with the rookie sportsman, I got my 5 wins, and, you know, I had a motor out of a box van in the backyard with a 4-barrel bolted onto it, and out of the gate, we got our first 5 wins, and they moved me up to the regular sportsman's, and I just didn't have enough money to compete there, because now you're talking about motor and tires, and I finished out the year, and I just never went back into another sportsman, because that's the only way you're going to, you know, money was beating me at that point. So I got my 5 wins, I was happy, and then I just kind of walked away from racing altogether because, well, for me, it's not fun to watch racing if I'm not involved in racing.
That's funny you
then,
say that. I got to.
And then my stepson, David Herrick, introduced me into kart racing. I had no idea that fat 45-year-olds were out there running around racetracks. I had no idea. And once I realized that fat 45-year-olds were actually out there having fun, I went and got one myself, and that's how karting started up for me. So
that's funny. You mentioned that it's not fun to watch it if you're not doing it. And I have to say this, I attended a wedding yesterday, and I enjoyed the wedding.
Well, those are way more fun to watch than to do.
No. See, I disagree. I mean, marriage-wise, yeah. But I was sitting at this wedding going, man, the music is good, but I'm bored. I need to be doing something. So what do? I go and get myself a couple of drinks.
Well,
and then everything was better for a little while. What's that?
Wow. That's always entertaining. Well, talk about, you talk about marriage. I have the most supportive wife that you ever wanted to find. There's absolutely no problems here. She lets me do whatever I want to do, basically. I'm just not allowed to sleep in the bed yet. So, but
how does that work
no,
out?
she's extremely supportive, and she doesn't ever hound me or anything. So, my wife's a heaven sent. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, marriage is good for some of us, Craig. You know, I know you haven't found
well,
the
no,
right
it's good
one
for
yet.
Me, man.
But...
Listen, marriage is great for me. I make a lot of money off of marriages.
So you're a DJ.
So let's go back to this real quick.
You're either a DJ or a divorce lawyer. Which one are you?
Right. Yeah. Marriage is good. It's the divorce. You got to hire somebody else. So I don't know, though. I mean, if you were that great of a DJ, which I believe you are, I would invite you to the divorce party as well, right? I mean, that's you could DJ the marriage and the divorce party.
Absolutely.
So, Tom, so let me know about this real quick. All paid classes, winner takes all. That means the winner gets all the entry fees. This has been kicked around in all forms of racing, whether or not this may be the future, based off of the spectator side kind of dwindling, especially in certain areas. What made you conclude that this would be the best way, and how does a racetrack survive when they're not taking a cut at all?
Well, winner takes all. You know what, I wasn't running a full program, so the program itself didn't cost as much. So the expense of the day didn't cost as much. Normally what we do is, with the entry fees, we take 20% off the top, and that goes to the track. That's what helps me pay the officials or pay this. I wasn't fully staffed. I didn't need to be fully staffed. It was either practice or winner takes all. I didn't have to fully staff, so I didn't need that 20%. And the best way to do that is to just say, okay, well, you paid $25 a race. We're going to put it all into a kitty. The winner takes it all. That worked out really well for the flat carts that we had there. I mean, geez, that was a pretty good purse for Seth Martin. He came in, he pulled 15 laps, and he walked out with money. And he was fast, too. It didn't matter how many people were there, to be honest with you. Seth was going to beat them all because he was fast. Anthony Scott came in with the Wing Champs, and we actually had a 500 to win race with the Wing Champs. Unfortunately, not a lot of Wing Champs showed up, so Anthony Scott got to walk away with $500, and he only had to race four champs because I don't do my race. My purses don't rely on cart count. If I say we're paying $500 to win, if you're the only Wing Champ that shows up, guess what you did? You just won the best lottery scratch-off you ever found. I'm giving you $500 because I'm a man of my word. That's what I'm going to do. You traveled here. You did it. You're here. Guess what? You get $500. But I'm going to make you go out and at least spend a little bit of money and give me 10 laps.
Right.
So, well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I don't think that... if you're the only one, then you still got to go out and put on a little bit of a show for the spectators that are there.
So great.
No, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, I mean, I want to walk into the Speedway, right, and I'm making a right, and there's a concession stand. And, you know, I'm a hungry fella. what is in that concession stand that I'm going to enjoy? What's going to be that selling? Do you have a specialty? Is there something that's maybe the racetrack's done for a long time?
Like I told you before, I've only owned the racetrack during COVID, so the health department was not available to open me up last year. Because
I think
you give a phone call to the health
right?
department. And
right.
So what I did, I decided to go through the WCRS, and all the money we made through concessions ended up going through the WCRS, which is a not-for-profit organization that helps little kids with cancer. So all the food
wow.
that was purchased last year went to a local family that, you know, we helped them transport to, you know, Rochester. We bought some home heating oil over the winter for some families that needed it. The WCRS is 100% charitable. We don't take anything to manage it. I can tell you, in all honesty, that Varen Freight Services donates to the WCRS. We don't make any money on the WCRS. And if you're involved in the WCRS, as far as I'm concerned, you're a hero. If you're not, then, hey, I guess, you know, you don't want to race for money and help a little kid with cancer. So, so
please tell us more about this WCRS. That's the Wing Champ Racing Series.
Yeah, the Wing Champ Racing Series was created by my wife and myself. When I went back and wanted to start racing again, my wife said, okay, have at it. But if you're gonna go out there, you're not gonna race just for yourself. You're gonna race for another reason. So you better come up with a reason that's good enough for me. So I said, how about we race for a local family with this cancer? We'll just give them our purse. And we went out that year and we won a bunch of races and we took all the purses, which was basically $80 here, $80 there, and we would give it to the families that needed it. And then we decided to start a series with the Wing Champs. Bobby Reinhart, myself, and Jeff Swartz, and a couple people we got together with the Wing Champs, and that's how that was born. And my wife said, in order for you to do this, then you got to be 100% not-for-profit, and you got to, you know, any money that we make with the series, we're going to give to a family that needs it. And I said, okay, I'm good with it. So that's what we do.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
It's amazing how a small little question can lead into such an awesome thing. I think it kind of took all of our breaths away because, of course, we've been, you know, on these topics, jumping from topic to topic, and then we found there. And it's always, you know, not only is America the most giving country in the world, but the racing community is one of the biggest givers in the world. I mean, I've seen helmets passed around at a big race and raised $12,000. I've watched them raffle a whole race car because a guy got run over, an announcer got run over by a powder puff racer, you know. And money donated. I've watched, and so it's such a giving community, and we just kind of accidentally walked into that question there, and just a terrific response. It's good to hear those types of stories still being told, and you know, it's a great honor to have you on, knowing that you do such an awesome thing like that, or y'all do.
Well, you know, it's the fact that my wife and I, we have five beautiful daughters, none of which have had any kind of complications. We're truly blessed. God blessed us with health and all that other stuff. So we want to recognize that we've been blessed by helping those that maybe have a struggle. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. It really is. What are some of the track sponsors you guys got for this year, maybe that you didn't have last year? Why don't we go over that?
Well, my sponsor list is pretty small this year, to be honest with you, given the state of our national economy. Adrenaline Rush Racing is always going to be part of what we do. Doug Grimaldi is a very good personal friend of mine. He's a great guy right off the top of the bat. Even if he wasn't a friend of mine, I'd tell you. he's you know, they're making Predator motors that are making this sport go around, animal motors that go on to Wing Champs, flathead motors that are going to flat carts, and Doug goes out and does these buyouts, and his prices are just fantastic down there in Rome. He's got a full warehouse full of carts and parts and a beautiful showroom. Craftsman Auto Glass, and I'll tell you a little story about Craftsman Auto Glass. I just got on the phone with them just before I called you guys. I was leaving the track with my day cab bobtail, and lucky me, I picked up a stone in one of my tires and shot it right in the back window of my truck. First call I made was Craftsman Auto Glass, and so he's coming tomorrow to fix the back window in one of my trucks, thank goodness. So I'm glad I got him as a sponsor. Not that I don't have to pay for it, but he was right there to answer the phone. Not to mention he's done all the glass on all my trucks, to be honest with you. He's probably done over 200 windows for me, because I manage other fleets as well besides my own. Phenomenal work. Scott from Craftsman All Glass, he's going to have a big billboard there. Racing Rhino Carts and Parts, carts and cart parts. Bobby Reinhardt's a very good, close and personal friend of mine. I couldn't do anything that I do without Bobby Reinhardt and the Reinhardts. They're just so supportive, and they're great people, and he's got a heart of gold. With that being said, I'm also going to give a shout-out to Ronnie Smith, who takes care of all the property there. He mows my lawns. He comes up. He invests his time. So he's a sponsor as well, because time is money. And he does a great job mowing my lawns and making sure that the track looks presentable to the community. Ward Martin from Martin Karting, he's going to be having a billboard up there as well. Ward's a great place to buy your carts, parts. You know, he's going to have a trailer at the track as well. And Cobra Racing Tires, they're throwing us a little cash to get the facility up and running and functioning money. Poughkeepsie Raceway with our Cobra Series that we're running. We're going to be running a Cobra Series that's between Dodge and Poughkeepsie. That's between dirt and asphalt, and that should be a blast. That's a good mixture of skill. I'm not sure everybody's going to want to do it because it's actually going to take some kind of racing skill to do it. So I'm not sure that we got drivers that are, you know, that race on dirt that are going to make the transition over to asphalt. And most of them are afraid of losing anyway, so they might not show up. Yes, sir. Nepro is going to be running again this year. So that's my list of sponsors for the year so far.
Awesome. Well, Tom, I do appreciate you coming on the show. You're more than welcome to stay as we move along into our final segments of the show here tonight. We will have Southern Dirt Track Report showing up in about 5 minutes here. He'll give us a regional report of what's been going on down here in the southeastern region. A new addition that we've added to. This is typically the Taz Taylor segment, where we go over certain racing up in the northeastern region. Craig, have you got any updates or know anything that's going on up there that maybe we can share here?
Actually, Jeremy Terrell was going to call in a little bit too, but I don't know. He was at the ER earlier. I guess he celebrated a little bit too much. I was busting his stones last week. And I said, you know, only two-year-olds do what you did. And then he comes back and he wins the second race in as many in 6 weeks at Fonda. So, you know, I'm happy about that, but we'll talk about more about that later when you're done with the Southern Report. But there's a lot of racing is heating up. Tanner Warner took a huge role and destroyed his car. That is Rocky's son. Took a huge role Saturday night, but I talked to him today, and he's doing pretty good, and he was out looking at another car today, so hopefully he'll be ready to go Saturday. If not, it'll be the following week, but I'm definitely interested to hear what's happening down in your neck of the woods, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about what Jared Hudson is going to bring to the table as well. There's a lot of big time racing. You know, we've been racing since March. That's the pleasure of living south of the Mason-Dixon line, and the further south you go,
you don't have to rub it in.
Oh yeah, you know we've been warm. As a matter of fact, I think we topped 91 degrees today. So we're still not up in the humidity levels yet, so it is bearable. But give it a couple of weeks. I believe like around the middle of June all the way to September, it's damn near intolerable. So it's amazing that we have so many fat people. I'll say because I'm fat myself, because we should sweat all that off during the summertime, or you at least think that we would, because it's so miserable you can't even eat. It's just that hot. We would trade your summers for we would not trade our summers for your winters, because I don't see how anybody can live in sub 30 degree weather. And that's the envision that I have of Craig Moore throughout the wintertime as well. I mean, he's Frosty the Snowman. So
You know, I will say this, that and Tom, you can, if you're still listening or you're still on the line, you can verify this. Last week it was 50 degrees. It was cold. It was miserable. If the wind wasn't blowing, it wasn't too bad. But then the last week or so, it was in the 80s, and people were bitching that it was too hot. I looked at them and said, "Shut up." I'm like,
I'm telling you
what we had last week.
I'm telling you what. The Northeast weather is nothing but menopause. I'm telling you what. I don't think we got a spring anymore. So.
We were at a water park yesterday. I mean, we were literally at a water park yesterday. So that's the difference in the climate between the north and the south. I tell you what, there is a lot of difference in the north and the south with climate. But the one thing that is on the rise right now that the north created, that the north has been a big part of, are these big block modifieds. And I cannot wait to have more discussion about those big block modifieds that have taken the southeastern region. I do believe our partner, Jared Hudson, will be able to catch one of these big block modified races here very soon. And if not, hopefully Artie will. And, of course, Ted Taylor has gotten us really excited about certain races that have gone on up there, keeping us informed. We're getting to know their names, and it's really awesome. We're waiting on Mr. Jared Hudson to call in right now. This is a perfect opportunity for us to take a quick break and slide in a little sponsorship while we wait on our guest to call in. Definitely, if you need a DJ and you're somewhere in the New York, Pennsylvania, Craig, you actually travel.
New York, Pennsylvania,
you can't go
Connecticut
into Canada right now. But
no,
you would be,
no, I wouldn't go up there anyway. It's still cold.
Celebrate at the line. Like, could you literally set up your DJ booth on the country line? You don't call it a state line, I guess. It's the country line. Do you have enough power to pump your DJ-ness into Canada?
Well, absolutely, and I would take one of the Baron mobiles up there, and we do it from the back of a trailer.
Mobiles. I'm not sure I'm allowed in Canada.
We're not going to Canada. We're just going to party up there like we're in Canada.
Yeah.
All right,
nobody wants to go up to that hellhole. That's worse. But, yeah, definitely, if you need a DJ, Chris, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm heading to Wake Forest in North Carolina, the Raleigh area, July 15th. I'm going to do a wedding down in Raleigh. And actually, they are from here, but he is stationed in the United States Army, so we're going down there to do the wedding, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, and you know, so if you need a DJ, by all means, give me a call, 518-866-2677. Visit my website, more, MOORE, the number 2, music.com. I do have some dates available for this year. They're few and far in between, so you're going to have to go to the website to check. And when I say few and far in between, I went to bed Saturday night with with 6 dates left for the summer, I woke up to 4 dates left for the summer. So, you know, it's definitely time to start looking at bringing possibly another DJ on into the mix. And so that way I can do more and work more. Less. No pun intended.
More to music.
Well,
I'm looking for music.
I'm looking for a part-time job there, Craig. So maybe I'll take you up.
Well, you know, we might be able to arrange that.
All right. Hey, are we still on the phone with the Southern guy, the Southern Racing Tier guy?
Yeah, well, we're about to bring him. Yeah, we're about to bring him on right now. As a matter of fact, I think we've given more to music. Not saying that you shouldn't have your commercial break, but I believe that was a great plug, and I think that we can go ahead and bring Mr. Hudson on from the Southern.
Most commercials are like, what, 60 to 30 seconds? That was like 10 minutes, wasn't it?
I swear.
But when you're, you know, when some is
we
good,
have to get
more
a refund.
Better.
Yeah, more is better.
I like
all
that.
Right.
More
is better. All right. So it's a pleasure to have on Mr. Jared Hudson again. Jared from Southern Dirt Track Report, how you doing, my friend? And what's your saying there? You're going to keep
doing
it
dangerous, keeping rated R for racing.
So just a warning, y'all, it's rated R for racing. Jared Hudson, glad to have you on this evening. Of course, I believe you were able to make it to a racetrack this past weekend. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on in the southeastern region and what you guys have been up to.
So I went to Deep South Speedway over there in Loxley, and they had a regular season race. They had the Crate 604s, factory stocks, the UMP modified, they had pure stocks, street stocks. It was just a super good night of racing. Probably the best race of the night was the pure stock race, and it came down to the wire. Like, the three best drivers in pure stock right now at Deep South are, it's just my opinion anyways, are the 82 of Tanner Palmer, and then you have the 5 of Derek Long, and then you have the 99 of Wesley King in the J. Morton number 99 team car. And so Tanner got some damage, and he didn't get to finish where he was running earlier in the race. And then Derek Long and the 99 Wesley King drove the best pure start race I've seen in a long time. Back and forth. Well, Derek passed him twice. And then the first time he passed him, the caution came out. And I said, man. And then so they went back to the previous lap leader. So he got Wesley got a spot back. And then Derek couldn't quite get him on them restarts. And then finally towards the end, with like 2 laps to go, Derek passes him. And then he kind of washes up a little bit, and Wesley goes by him. And Wesley beats him barely at the end. So that was a good race. And then, of course, the UMP modified, we saw Travis Marsh in the X2C. He passed Joey Moxley with 2 laps to go to win the race. And if you beat Joey Moxley at his home track, that's really, really good. And I was shocked to see Ryan Fowler didn't finish top 2. But Ryan Fowler, I think, finished 3rd. Street stocks were awesome. They Chad Robinson in the 10 won the street stock race. And then the factory stock race was won by Tucker Bird in the 112. And Tucker Bird and Chad Robinson had a big battle in the pure stock race. And Tucker Bird
has been putting on quite a show around. He's definitely been making a name for himself. He ran 2nd in the Chandler Shaw race to Bo Slay. He actually, if I can remember what you said correctly, he had a chance to win that race. But Tucker's continuing his hot streak this year.
Oh, yes. He's got a hot rod of a factory stock. And I'm hoping in the next few weeks, I'm helping my buddy Chris Hartman at Team Hartman Racing for a Cure. You can go online and look up Team Hartman Racing for a Cure. And Chris, he races in the factory stocks with Tucker and them. And hopefully when he gets back from his vacation, he'll be back racing again. And he's got a few small sponsors, but for the most part, he does everything by himself except for when his friend Derek helps him or I come help him or his fiancée Heather. So that's really cool. And then his other family helps when they can. And his Uncle Charles races that same class. So look for Charles Hartman in the 28. And then Chris drives the 45. And if you're looking to watch a pure underdog that's got a show enough underdog story that struggles to make it to the racetrack, then Chris Hartman is your guy. And I'm not just saying that because he's a really good friend of mine. I'm saying that because what I witness, just like he literally works every night when he gets home from work on that race car just to make it to the race. And he's had a DNF every race this year except for the Chandler Shaw Memorial. And it was really cool. He made the show. There was 73 cars, and they whittled them down to, I think it was 34 or something like that. And Chris made the show and started 26th out of 34 cars. And then he finished, where did he finish? I think he finished 16th out of 34 cars. So that was really, really impressive for somebody who don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of big budget. So, and then Deep South Speedway, they put on some good racing up there. They got a new surface. Oh, it's just all-around good racing.
Is this Tim Hartman Jr. or Tim Hartman?
What now?
Are you talking about Tim Hartman Jr. or Tim Hartman?
No, Chris Hartman.
Oh, Chris Hartman. I'm sorry.
Okay, so if you go on Facebook, look up Team Hartman Racing for a Cure, and I'm one of the moderators or admins of the page. It'll be me and his fiance and then Chris. And, like, just to follow his story, like, he's had a DNF every single race this year until that Chandler Shaw Memorial and finally finished the race. And they paid good money for that race. He won, it was $300 just to start, which is excellent. I mean, and rednecks go nuts over money, so that was huge. And then in Deep South Speedway, they pay out a good purse anyways for a regular show.
Yeah, so there's some big shows coming up. Go ahead, Jared.
No, go ahead.
Well, there's some even bigger shows coming up, right?
Oh, yes. So this weekend, Deep South Speedway is racing again, and they started that series called the Southern Shine Run Series, and they're going to start it this weekend, and it's going to be like a little mini-series they're doing. It's going to be it reminds me of the old six-shooter series they used to do at Flemington Speedway. They would go to Flemington, they'd go to Northwest Florida, and then they'd go to just different tracks, and they'd race for a big points fund, a big bonus, and then they're starting that this weekend. And they got a bunch of more good races coming up. Tri-County's got some really good races coming up. And I believe Northwest Florida Speedway is going to be having some enduro races this year, which is really, really cool. Like, I've never been doing enduro before until last year when I went up there, and Scott Sessions put on a heck of a show. It was 100 laps. Any kind of car you want, you race it for 100 laps. And that was really, really cool to see. And I told him, I said, I've never driven a race car before, but I will drive a race car next year. And I plan on it this year, drive me a race car in that enduro race.
Now you have something that you are promoting at this point in time too. It's actually something for the racers, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, this is really cool. So my good friend Robbie invented this device 21 years ago, and he never got to put it on the market full time, never got to make it big. And now he asked me recently if I would help him with it. And I said, man, I'd love to do something like this. And so what it is called the Race Safer Fuel Arrestor. And you can look us up on Facebook. And what it is, it's a safety device that Robbie invented that goes around the fuel cell of your race car. And if your race car flips, if it fuel tank ruptures, whatever the case, what it does is when your fuel spills out, it arrests your fuel. Kind of like Chuck Norris arresting the bad guys on Walker, Texas Ranger. It does like that. And so, so you know how good Chuck Norris is good at arresting people. So, you know. So, like, it's basically like a vest or a gigantic diaper that absorbs all your fuel and keeps your fuel from spilling and catching on fire and the driver and the car catching on fire. Case in point. This past weekend, or the other weekend, in Anderson, Indiana, there was a driver. I can't remember the guy's name. I read the story on him. But he was racing at Anderson Speedway, which is a asphalt track up there. And it looked like a four-cylinder car. I'm not sure. But the story I read was that he was driving, and he had a piece of debris come up and rupture his fuel cell. Car caught on fire, and the driver got second-degree burns. It was pretty bad. At last I heard the driver was okay, thank the Lord, because God was watching out for him. But what this would do is, right now we only have a street stock version available, but once we start selling some of these street stock versions, then we'll move up and we'll start doing the late model version we're coming out with, and then sprint cars. And the one we got now fits 16 to 22 gallon fuel cell, and it soaks up all that fuel that keeps it from catching fire. And it's made of NASA-grade material that's made in the USA. It's actually made with American parts, too, not that Chinese junk. And so if you're interested, send us a message on our Facebook. The one we have now, it sells for $550. And I'm sure there's some people out there that say, oh, man, that's too expensive. It's like, well, look, how much do you value your life? Because to me, if it saves your life, then it's worth every penny of it. And plus, being NASA-grade material, it should, you know, it should last, and it should, it'll do its job. And to tell you how good this thing works, NASCAR driver Jimmy Spencer tested it in 2006, and I believe he was, can't remember what team, it may have been James Finch's team, I can't remember, but Jimmy Spencer tested it and won the race that year, and Jimmy Spencer said he loved it. He thought it was a great idea. So now we've actually got it on the market. It's ready to sell. We got a PayPal, and then we have a Facebook page. And driver safety is number one.
And this could be for asphalt late asphalt street stocks, or just particularly dirt track street stocks.
Asphalt street stocks, dirt street stocks. Eventually, we want to get it to where we'll have one for drag racing cars. We have pictures of it on our Facebook. We have dozens of stories where a car's fuel cell ruptures and catches on fire, and this right here will be a great way to save the drivers. You know, it'll be because safety should be number one in racing. Don't skip on safety, in my opinion, because there's too many drivers that skip on safety thinking they're cutting corners, trying to save money. It ends up costing them in the long run.
Right.
Let me ask you something, if you don't mind. Do you think that this is something that you could probably put into a smaller type application? I mean, our carts run with our fuel directly between the driver's legs. Our slingshots race with our fuel directly behind the driver's head. Is this something that could be made into a smaller application?
Yes. Oh, you probably could. We got a company that makes them for us, and we could probably see about having them made for the smaller applications, because I think that'd be a perfect idea for something like that for your carts, your junior slingshots, any kind of your smaller cars.
Yeah, I mean, if you could come up with something that was good for the carts or even the slingshots, you know, that's our fuel is directly exposed to us. I can't tell you.
Oh.
I've put out three fires last year. Thank God I had a fire extinguisher right handy with me. But I mean, there's nothing.
Wow.
There's nothing freakier than having only a thin piece of aluminum between you and your fuel is sitting in between your legs. So.
Oh yeah, that's very scary, because that's like that guy. Ricky Craig, I think was the guy's name at Anderson Racetrack. And just to see his pictures, like, the whole entire car was just a ball of flame, And I'm saying, and they said he just run over some small debris and it come up and hit that fuel tank. And this stuff is really thick too, so it'll absorb whatever amount of fuel that's in your fuel cell.
Well, maybe you could check on that for me.
Yes, that's a good idea. I'm glad you brought that up, because I can ask Robbie about that, and we can call the manufacturer and see what they can do about that, because I think safety should be number one. I'm tired of drivers not thinking safety at the racetrack. They're trying to skip on this, skip on that, you know. I don't care how much it costs. If it saves somebody's life, then it's worth it.
Right. And I think that these days drivers do take more precautions than what they used to. Remember, it wasn't 20 years ago that a driver would say it would be a cold day in hell before they put on a Hans device or something that would keep them attached to the race car, not quite knowing exactly how it's manufactured itself to save lives. Also, look at the innovations of the seat, how drivers used to just sit on a metal seat. Nowadays, there's, you know, specially made driver seats. You know, Randy LaJoy has really patented that idea and taken it to the extreme. But I believe this is a great product, and that's why, Jared, I like for you to share that here on the show, and we would like to help as much as possible to get this product promoted. Jared, I want to keep you on because I know that you have an opinion about the weekend's race. I know that you most definitely watched COTA, right?
Oh, yeah. The only one I didn't watch was the Xfinity Series, but I watched the Truck Series and the Cup.
Okay. Let me give a quick rundown real quick. Why Not Motorsports Park race this weekend. I was there. I announced the whole shebang. Jimbo McDuffie, he was the winner in the Crate Racing USA Late Model 604 Series. It was a great battle. Casey Haney, out of a brief retirement after two slips in a month's time, Casey Haney come back out, finished a strong second place. He actually won his heat race. Rodney Wing, out of retirement as well, of course, the track owner, finished third. Jason Henry, the modified driver who is here recently, done pretty well in the late model class. He finished fourth. Chris McElhaney, a winner this year in the Crate Series, finished a fifth place, got a fifth place finish. On the Crate Racing USA 602 side, that's the Sportsman Late Model Series. Cody Ratcliffe won again. Tyler Burgess finished second. Kobe Pond finished third. Cameron Parker finished fourth. And a top five finish for the young Holden Mazingo in his very first outing in a Crate Racing USA Sportsman Late Model. On the street stock side,
nice
of course, we were all shocked to see Chuck Thorne come out and put a blistering on the former series champ Lee Ray this past weekend. Chuck Thorne out of Demopolis, Alabama, took that 24C straight to victory lane in quite a fashion. It was a battle of the red race cars from first to fourth. They were all red race cars. Mark Thorne finished fourth, the son of Chuck. And then Matt Byron from Sebastopol, Mississippi, finished third. Of course, we said Lee Ray finished second. Top five finished by Clint Crawford and a brand-new Jason Jackson mobile. Slick number five on the side of that Clint Crawford mobile. Moving on into the factory stock class, that was where the race was this weekend. The factory stocks put on one hell of a show. John Johnson, they call him Bubba, John Johnson Jr. I tell you, when that kid shows up at the racetrack, you better be on your game because John Johnson Jr. takes no prisoners. Chris Reed almost made it a three-peat. Of course, with the factory stock rules, you have to start in the rear after winning a race. He was not able to get that top spot based off the dominant factor of John Johnson Jr. Bubba was in the house. So Chris Reed finished second after a caution there late in the race. Actually bunched the cars back up and gave Chris a chance to take the win. Trevor Yates, who's been just absolutely right on the cusp all year long in the number 27, he finished third. C.J. Hodges with a great finish fourth. And a young gun, a new driver, a 16-year-old, Trey Murphy out of Meridian, Mississippi, the grandson of Larry Murphy. He's actually Larry Murphy III, Larry Wayne Murphy III. Wayne Murphy raced and competed in the 604 class. So we had three Smurfies and a Wing racing this weekend. God bless Miss Peggy, the HBIC of Why Not Motorsports Park. Do I need to tell you what a HBIC is? Anybody? Head bitch in charge. Thank you very much. Blake Hatfield was the winner in the hot shot class. The hot shot class. We need some more guys. It's the four-cylinder, six-cylinder, front-wheel drive class. Blake Hatfield undefeated. Nobody has been his McCoy this year. Where the hell are you? Show up so we can give this guy a happy little ending straight back to the pit side with a second place. Because this guy has been on a tear. Five straight wins so far this season at the House of Hooks. Sam Ardner come out. He was a little bit of competition at first for Hatfield, but unfortunately was not able to compete. Joshua Mosley, a better story about the other brother, TJ Mosley, climbed the wall. I had to get on to his mom for coming out on the racetrack. She kissed him. She made sure his boo-boo was okay, and they went back to the pit and tried to start a fight with somebody. But we won't get too far into that because that's bad publicity for racetracks, or at least that's what they tell me. Caleb Price finished fourth, and Mason Barnett rounded out the top five. Unfortunately, all we had was five cars. In the open wheel modified, another class that we only had three cars. Congratulations. The Leadfoot himself, Craig Hollinsworth, back in victory lane. He beat Robert Casson in the K9 Scooby-Doo Mobile and Jimmy Anderson, who come in out of Columbus, Mississippi. So that was our updates from Why Not Motorsports Park. We won't be back racing until June 12th. Now, Mr. Jared Hudson, what did you think? My co-host, Craig Moore, thought that basically it was a poop show. Jared's a good Christian guy, so we'll keep it PG, even though he keeps it R rated for racing. Jared,
I just tell it like it is.
What did you think about the race this past weekend?
I enjoyed it. I thought the Truck Series race was awesome. I really want to see – I would love to see Jennifer Jo Cobb, and I would love to see Norm Benning with the nice rides that KBM, Kyle Busch Motorsports, has. Imagine if Jennifer Jo Cobb was not racing 2008-built hand-me-down trucks and she had Kyle Busch's trucks, she'd be up front every weekend. But sadly, these little teams don't get the support these big teams do, because I follow Jennifer on Facebook. I watch her every time she goes live. I watch her. A few weeks ago, she was live, and she was talking about, well, my truck I got for, I forgot what race it was, but she said, my truck's a 2008-built truck. That tells you how old my trucks are. I get hand-me-down race trucks. And then you see Kyle Busch and all these other guys go out there with 2019, 2020 trucks. And I just hope a lot of these drivers realize how blessed they are, because they could be like Norm Benning, you know, buy your own trucks, buy your own parts, run used parts, or like Jennifer. And in the Cup Series, I thought that was awesome, seeing a race in the rain on the Circuit of the Americas. I enjoyed the rain, but I just hate it was rain shortened at five laps to go. And I understand that, because it was getting pretty bad, because Martin Truex Jr. got tire-drived. He hit Michael McDowell, 34. And then I think it was Cole Custer in the 41, hit the wall. I mean, that was super, super, super scary. And I'm glad NASCAR did the right thing, stopped the race, blow down the track with the jet dryers in that one spot. I thought it was good racing, because you didn't know who was going to win. That's what I liked about it. You didn't see Kyle Busch leading the whole entire race. I was like, oh, there he goes again.
Right.
No, this is, I mean, back and forth. Michael McDowell had the lead. Oh, you saw the 42 of Ross Chastain even had the lead for several laps. So it was really cool. I enjoyed it. I just hated the
as the first 25 laps. It was a completely different race the last 25 laps.
Oh, yes, it was. It was wild, and I didn't care for them super bad wrecks. I'm glad NASCAR did the right thing, stopped the race, because, golly, poor Cole Custer. That is a blessing from God that he survived that wreck. And Jeff Gordon and them was talking on the TV how they said there was a foam barrier right there. I am super thankful God let him hit that foam barrier instead of the part of the racetrack that was hard as woodpecker lips, because, whoa, that was a rough hit.
I ain't never heard that one before.
Look, you got to admit, a woodpecker's got the toughest lips in the world because that boy be busy.
Yes, he does. Jared, it's always great having you on. Now, are you excited about this weekend? And where are you going racing at?
All right, put it this way. I'm as excited as a fat kid at a buffet line on Valentine's Day because, you know, Valentine's Day is the busiest day for restaurants. So you can imagine this fat kid pushing people out the way. My food. But, no, I'm going to Deep South Speedway again this weekend. I got a friend named Cody who works at the racetrack. He's been wanting to race for years, and he finally got him a stinger car. And so he's going to be racing this weekend, so I told him I'd come watch him race. So I'm kind of excited. It's going to be some good racing this weekend. And if y'all are around Lodgley, Alabama, y'all come see us and say hi.
That's at Deep South Speedway. That's Jared's home track. A stinger is the same thing as a hotshot four-cylinder, six-cylinder race car. Stinger is actually
yes.
the same race car. We just call it different because it's coastal thing versus a mid-state thing, I guess. I'm not really sure how that come about.
Yeah, and like some tracks call it a buzz. Some call it a hotshot buzz, stinger,
right.
You know, yeah.
Right. Yep. So, Jared, thank you for coming on. Big shout-out to Southern Dirt Track Report. We're looking forward to bringing Artie on. And y'all started up
yes.
a little bit more of a show-like as well. Tell us about that real quick before we let you go.
Okay, cool. So Artie's already got a great show called Talking Dirt, and he goes live for about an hour, and he was doing it every Tuesdays. And he goes live, he talks about all the local racing, he gets guests on the show, he talks about all the weekly racing, and then Sunday night he wanted me to get on and do 30 minutes of talking NASCAR. So I go live Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Central for about 30 minutes talking NASCAR, and then I can bring a guest on. I brought him on to talk racing, so that was really cool. So check out Talking Dirt, and then check out the NASCAR talk on Sunday night.
All right. And
I
got to
throw something in.
Come on.
I
got
to throw
Tom.
Something in here to the southern dirt track racing there. It's, two weeks ago I had Kirsten Schwartz went down there. I know she's just a kart racer, and you're probably not looking at that, but she went down there and spanked them southern boys all the way from up here at her home track, Garoga. She went
really?
Down there, spanked them, and at the Blue Gray. Yep, she's at
wow, that is,
Tennessee. So
well, that is cool, and we kind of that's great.
Yep,
she's going to be one of the up and coming names that you're probably going to want to be looking for because.
Oh yes,
she's definitely going to be making race in her career. You talk about Jennifer Jo Cobb. You talk about some of these other people. She doesn't race like a girl. She races like a person, and I love it. This girl has got everything that there is to offer. Talent right on down to everything else. So just keep an eye out for. She's heading into a slingshot, and I have no doubt that. To be honest with you, I have no doubt that this girl can. Within a few years,
well, she's got
NASCAR material.
Well, if she's got a racing page, send me her racing page and I'll follow because I've been to one go-kart race, and that was at Oak Grove Motorsports Park in Florida, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and we've actually got a lady that's on our team that's actually the promoter at a go-kart track, so we kind of incorporate go-kart racing a little bit too.
Now, you know the
yep.
fastest girl
yep.
on dirt is Morgan Turpin, and she races the USCS Sprint Car
That's
Series.
Right.
But she also has been in the All-Star Series as well as some of the bigger series. She is known around here as the fastest girl on dirt, but there's a hometown girl from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Her name's Stephanie Nikkei Cooper, and I will put her against any racer anywhere in their equipment. I'm telling you, these
Ooh.
Days and these cars, there are certain female drivers out there that these boys better watch out because they're homegrown. And it's
you know,
good to see
you know,
that going on up there as well.
There's certain people that, you know, like with Kirsten and with, I like Haley Deegan. I like Jennifer Jo Cobb. I don't know if that. Do you think that they really like being classified as the fastest girl or the this or that girl? I think they just want to be the fastest person because in Kirsten's case, she is.
Right.
You
know what? It also, we got a lot of northern talent up here that's probably going to be heading down south. EJ Hatch is probably going to be ended up down there. He's going to light up the world. I have a ton of people up here just between Turkey Trot, Dodge City Speedway, Weed Sport, and Paradise, and all these other northern tracks that have been venturing down south. I think you're going to see a northern invasion coming in down there.
That's great. I'm looking forward to that, and I think that it would be a great thing for racing. We already get it a lot with the Snowball Derby. That's on the asphalt side. We don't really have that connection on the dirt track side, especially in the support class rank or the amateur rank. Of course, you know, you have the super late model guys. They go on tour all across America. But even the sprint cars, you hear about the World Outlaw sprint cars a lot. You hear about the ASCS sprint cars. But there's a lot of series around our area and all that can, you know, race with them Pennsylvania guys. And I would love to see these two regions come together and have a North versus South collide. I think that would be awesome. And seeing what the Big Block Modifieds are doing by bringing their equipment down here, our guys are investing into going up there to learn how they run the series and how they race each other. That's a way to make it that much better for both ends. And I can't wait to see what comes about on that. We're running a little bit behind here tonight. It's about time to make our picks. It's about the closing. It's about time to close down the bar. This is what we got, last call. Charlotte Motor Speedway is coming up next week. All three series are racing. Any big predictions? Anything that we should see coming in the next week, other than a boring mile and a half race? Could I say that? I mean, we've had some pretty great racing the last month. Now we're at a mile and a half speedway. What's the expectations, Craig?
Well, I think I'm gonna give you. Kaz submitted his picks earlier. We'll go over those in a little while. I hope
we're
it's
running
not
out of time.
Follow the leader. No, we ain't. I got us for when I booked this. I booked this for longer.
Thinking ahead. He knew he was gonna have Baron on there, and that guy chatters like crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't. His mouth runs like a duck's ass on wheels, buddy.
Well,
that
we
there's
love
me
Tom.
In a hurry. Lips.
What's that?
I said it's better than being hard as a woodpecker's lips, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, I hope we're not going to see a boring ass mile and a half race. I want to see some excitement. I'm a little upset that the All-Star race wasn't last weekend, and they moved it to, I believe it's next week or the week after. But I think I'm going to give you my pick. I'm gonna go with your man, Chris. I'm gonna go with Mr. Harvick.
Oh wow!
For this weekend.
Well, we're throwing picks out already.
But
Stuart Haas racing. I mean, first of all, Kevin Harvick had his first DNF. A little nugget here. Kevin Harvick had his first DNF since Dover of 2019. That is amazing, and I hate that the streak ended, but. SHR has been in the poop tank all year long. This is where they rebound, Craig Moore?
I think so. I think this is where they're going to turn it around. I think that you're going to see their slump coming to an end. If you want to go away out of the box pick for Cup, Miss Lee, she threw a Hail Mary last week and got the King of Road Courses. She picked him right, Chase Elliott. This week she's picking Chris Buescher to win.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really shocked about that. But it is Miss Lee, and we usually know what happens with Miss Lee's picks as well as Craig's picks. They usually shit the bed early in the race. This is a 600-mile race. This is a race of attrition for sure. So... I mean, it's gonna be whoever has the strongest car in the end, and you know, stranger things have happened. And
yeah, Austin Dillon won this
Chris
race
Buescher. Yeah. Well,
do I get a pick in here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the most talented guy in NASCAR that NASCAR has to offer. I'm not a fan of the man. I don't like the guy, but Kyle Busch is going to win.
Well, that's funny because that's who I was actually going to go. That's actually who I was going to go with was Busch, but I was like, yeah, he boned me last week. So now watch. Because I didn't pick him, he'll come back and win someday.
I mean, I just don't see how you guys have missed the king of the mile and a half, and that's Martin Truex Jr. I mean, he is the number one guy.
He's
going to
finish third. He's going to finish third.
He already won three times this year. He's good.
It's going to be Kyle Busch, Harvick, and then Truex. Mark my words.
Interesting. And I mean, I guess we would just put him in the lead if he gets all three of those. Because, I mean, we try to make sure. We made a big deal. If you got two picks in the same weekend, this guy went for three. So we would have to give him extra bonus points.
Yeah, well,
I
picked the trifecta a couple weeks ago.
So I went with Martin Truex Jr. Jared, are you still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Who do you think is the favorite this week?
Oh gosh, probably Kyle Larson, but I don't know. Chase Elliott did pretty good, but I say Kyle Larson.
Interesting. Taking out. If you take Martin Truex out of the equation and you forget about that Denny Hamlin's leading the points and you forget that Willie B has like 12 consecutive top 10 finishes sitting second in the corner, based off of the type of year and the most excitement built up, Kyle Larson's got to be the guy, the hangman of Martin Truex Jr. right now, because Kyle Larson has been fast at many racetracks. It's just sealing the deal seems to be an issue with him right now. And let me tell you, I said it before in previous show, I've watched this with Kyle Busch. I watched it with Joey Logano when they were younger and superior equipment and didn't quite know how to close the races out. Then Kyle Larson, he's finally in superior equipment. The guy's going to get it figured out. There's only one guy that I could take out of that race car and put in any other kind of race car in the world and know that I'm going to still cash that check at the end of the night. Kyle Larson's the most talented racer on the track. Jared, you've got a strong pick.
All right, so I, pretty much Kyle Larson could race anything. I mean, he can win the race backwards blindfolded. That's how good he is. It doesn't matter. You can put him on a bicycle, he's going to beat everybody. Yeah. That's a bad case.
I will agree with you. I tend to agree with you on that. I just don't think that is I know Hendrick's on top of the organization right now, and they seem to be clicking, but I think that Kyle Larson could be even better if his team was working with him and even just more in sync. I'm not saying better. I'm just saying more in sync. I've watched him fall off two races now where he should have won them because they just didn't have the sync.
And I wonder if that's the communication factor with Cliff Daniels, because the one thing that I've heard from out of the garage and a lot of my contacts is Kyle Larson, it's hard to get information out of Kyle Larson because he kind of expects the crew chief to know how he's going to race a race car. And unfortunately, you know, Brian Patty, there was success there, but it took Brian Patty a couple of years to know how to get the car set up for Kyle Larson. So for them to come out of the box with Cliff Daniels and already be a winner, being that this was Jimmy Johnson's really his old team from last year, it was very refreshing. But we have to know that, once again, there's a struggle when a crew chief's really trying to get the best information out of a driver, and that driver just doesn't really know how to give that information.
All right, so moving on to trucks. Let me give you Taz's picks. Taz picked Joey Logano for Cup. In trucks, Taz picked Sheldon Creed. For trucks, You know what? Oh, before I forget, we need to wish Taz a happy 52nd birthday. No, I mean 25th birthday. My senility was
happy birthday.
My senility was moving in. He is 25 years young. He's bitching about being 25. Wait till he gets my age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, there's something else that Taz, and here's a little secret that you don't know yet, is something Taz and I have in common is our birthdays.
Wow, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Tom, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are
you
serious?
Had a
home this is how you're spending your birthday on the show with us.
With you.
This is amazing,
enjoyment,
man.
Tom,
if I ever need a co-host, I'm calling you.
Feel free.
All right, so you're giving away Taz's pick, and just, you know, I wondered if we were going to hear this guy's name tonight because we haven't really talked about him. But his cup pick is right there where it's just short check race, right? I mean, go ahead, Craig. Who is his cup pick?
His cup pick is Joey Logano. We'll have to see. I mean, Taz is pretty good. I think he's leading the win count this year. Oh, no, wait. I got 4 wins this year. My ass is stuck in canal water in the points, but I got 4 wins this year. And I'm going to go. I told you my cup pick was. My truck pick, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to go with the guy from that lives in upstate New York. I'm going to go with Mr. Dirt Track himself, the Freeze Man, Mr. Stuart Friesen.
Good
and,
choice.
It seems like every time I pick him, it doesn't work out too well. But I'm going to pick him anyway. So my pick is Stuart Friesen to win the trucks, and my pick to win Xfinity, I'm going to give you that right now just in case, is Justin Allgaier.
Mm.
So we'll have to see how Justin Allgaier does for me because, again, every time I pick him, he ends up wrecking or he ends up finishing, like, outside the top 10. So
I guess on my truck pick, I'm going to have to do a little blocking here on Taz. He's picked Sheldon Creed, and I don't think I can allow Chaz to gain any more points on me this weekend. So I'm going to have to make sure that I'm pulling the old race move here, and I'm going to block Taz from being able to gain any points or lose any points for that matter as well. I'm going to share our pick. I'm going with Sheldon Creed as well in the truck series, but in the Xfinity series.
That's weak. You can't do that. That's weak.
No, I'm giving away. I'm giving. Trust me. This is a battle. There's a war ahead. This is a battle. And plus,
Creed's got no shot at winning. Creed's got no shot at winning.
Oh,
you need
my
to,
God.
You need
I don't
to go.
See how you can say that. They're one of the fastest trucks out here every weekend. Sheldon Creed is definitely
Creed.
Championship caliber. He gave 2 fingers to Marcus Lemona. And I could actually pick that guy for the rest of the year. Even though I'm a big Marcus Lemona fan, it takes a man with big balls to tell a billionaire to go take his money and shove it up his ass. So that's basically when you go out there in a white and black lettered number 2 race truck, and you got some big cojones to say that to a billionaire. So I could pick him for the rest of the year. On the Xfinity side, I'm not sure if Josh Berry is racing this weekend. It would be good. It would be really cool to find out real quick if that is the pick. If he is racing this weekend, I haven't seen an entry list because that would be a solid pick for me. I've got to go with who I know is going to be in the field, and I think Kyle Racing Cars. They've been fast every
that they showed up to. Of course, it seems to be that there's about 8 cars that are really competitive every week, and then it's the field. Unfortunately, Josh Williams, who I thought was doing a lot with less, missed the field at COTA, so that team's going to be in recovery mode. Not saying that he's going to be a threat to be a winner, just one of the guys that I like to watch that's not necessarily a fully funded race car. But I do have to stay with the fully funded, and I'm going to go with A.J. Allmendinger. I think that this is his championship year. He is the guy that's going to be put up into the Cup Series. A.J.'s going to get that next opportunity, and he's going to get that opportunity because he's going to win the Xfinity Championship this year. I know that I'm a little bit early on
stole
that
my
pick.
But
I have to go with the Dinger, man.
Oh, yeah.
You stole my pick. See, I happen to have Freeze, Mr. Freeze, for the trucks, and Allmendinger for the Xfinity. And I'm also going to throw in there that Deegan is going to make top 12.
Top 12 what? Are the cars you wrecked this year? The trucks you wrecked this year?
Come on, man.
She's an extremely talented girl. Extremely talented.
And
top
the difference
12.
Is that she has raced stock cars her whole life. There is a chance for Haley Deegan to be everything that we want out of a woman stock car racer, because she's been given that opportunity at a very young age to learn how to drive these cars. Natalie, Hannah Newhouse, I think, had a lot of talent as well, and she earned her way as well, but her career went in a different direction. As for Natalie Decker, she was friends with Miss Diva herself. Her parents were friends with Danica Patrick. There was a competition of
don't even throw Danica Patrick into the same conversation as Deegan.
You can't even compare the two because Deegan has had stock car experience. She has been raised in a stock car. So give her a few more years before we write her off the list, because honestly, she's the most talented female racer that we've had in the series since Joanna Long. And how many of y'all remember Joanna Long, right?
Yeah.
She was a very talented race car driver. She just didn't have the right backing. I think a Snowball Derby winner on top amongst all that. You know, one of the very few. If it wasn't the Snowball, it was a Snowflake that she won. So. Miss Lee said, don't get me started on Decker versus Deegan. That sounded like a boxing match that I would buy on a Saturday night when I don't have anything else to do.
I would definitely buy that when I have everything to do.
Oh, Lord. Well, we are at the 9:00, and it has been an awesome show. Jared, it's so nice for you to hang along with us. You guys have anything to maybe close out the show with?
Just remember, keep it rated R for racing.
Keep it rated R for racing.
Jared, can you do me a favor? Can you send Chris the link to that Facebook page for that device you were talking about? I want to share that on the Race Chat Live page and
great.
Share that.
That'd be Chris great. What cure is Chris Hartman racing for? Is there a specific person in particular or just?
He did it years ago. Kane Long or Derek Long, everybody calls him Kane, has a cancer organization called Kane's Warrior Kids, where he helps kids with pediatric cancer, and he raises money for them. So Chris wanted to do something like that to help with cancer, and so Kane made the Facebook page for him, and so he's doing it to bring awareness to cancer and stuff like that.
Okay, well, look me up on Facebook, Tom Barron on Facebook, WCRS. This sounds like
something
we can get the South running with the North. Okay?
Okay, great. Thanks.
I
think it's going to be great. I'll share it out as well on the Race Chat Live page and on the 110 page, and I'll share it out on my personal page as well.
Thanks.
I think it's a great idea.
Tom, I want to thank you for tagging along for the last 2 hours and filling in for
me. For having me. Thanks for putting up with me.
Well, you know, really we put up with Chris each and every week, and Chris puts up with me, and we all know that it ain't easy to put up with the bearded wonder.
And I like to talk over everybody, so
we
yeah,
love
I have to bear
too.
With me. Yeah,
we love him too. Listen, I think maybe next week we're gonna have Jeremy Terrell on. I think maybe next week we'll try to do a Zoom meeting, a Zoom broadcast, and we'll see if we can get Chris to do it without that Confederate flag in the background. Holy
what?
Shit,
a Zoom?
Dude.
You want to do
I'm
a Zoom meeting with him? That's where
you
that's where you see people, right?
Flag down? No, I'm busted.
Serious?
No, I'm busted.
Zoom meeting is where you see people, right? And you
yeah,
want to
yeah,
see,
yeah.
You want to see Chris Tyrell?
No, you mean Jeremy? No, I've seen him.
Jeremy, you want? Well, then don't do Zoom. All right, Jeremy's not a pretty person. Okay, he's great race, great talent. But come on.
Yeah, no, he's a good kid. He's a good kid.
I'm just butting. He's a good kid. Matter of fact, we're friends. So,
he's a good kid. But we got him coming on next week. Guys, I can't thank you two enough. It has been an awesome hour. And, I look forward to having time. We'll have you on again later in the season. And I'll try to make an appearance at your track once or twice, if possible.
I hear he plays good music.
Like, what's that?
I hear that guy named Craig plays good music.
Well, you know, if it's country and southern rock, it's good music. If it's anything else, well, that's debatable.
More to music already got a plug. Come on, let's move on. Hey,
right.
Thanks
well,
for having me, guys. I'm
going
to get
plugs,
off here. Have a great night.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
all
Tom.
Right, you too.
From Caroga Motorsports Park. Creek Raceway, I'm sorry, Caroga Creek Raceway. Awesome, guys. Thank you very much for being on this evening. We've actually gone over our two-hour mark, which is just crazy because most of the time we don't run this late. But it's been a great show. Unfortunately, I think Taz is kind of worried about his job now. But just remember, Taz, it took two to replace you, so... We couldn't do this without you either, buddy. It's hard to believe that we started this show three or four years ago without Taz being here. He's been a great asset to us, and even though he was off tonight, we still can't wait to have him back next week. And trust me, Tom, we're going to keep Tom on speed dial. If we ever need a backup co-host, we're going to bring Tom on as well. And Jared, we've got big plans for you. Just stay with us here. We want to get y'all some airtime. We want to get y'all your Monday night show or Sunday night show and your Tuesday night show if possible.
Sweet.
On Blog Talk Radio Network. Get it in the podcast system. We've got to figure out how to separate the 110 Nation, in other words, using the categories for the 110 Nation show, Race Chat Live, and any other programs that we decide to add as the 110 Nation continues to grow. If you guys have not followed the 110 Nation's Facebook page, go check it out. Go check out the website, 110nation.com. We're always looking to expand. We're looking for writers, guys. We're looking for people with content. The website's growing. Our Facebook pages are growing. Race Chat Live is an affiliate of the 110 Nation. Without Mr. CJ Sports, without Ms. Lee, our production manager, I don't think any of this would be possible. I know that our show has gotten better because we now have a production manager, Ms. Lee Reed. Thank you so much for all that you do behind the scenes to keep us focused, to keep the show rolling in the right direction. We needed that, being that me and Craig like to talk a lot. It's sometimes hard to stay on certain subjects. I believe adding a production manager and having Ms. Lee listen to us week in, week out keeps us focused and where we need to be. As for all our guests and all, our show's growing. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next Monday night. It'll be all three of us, I do believe. It is a holiday weekend, so we're going to kind of we'll cross that bridge when we get there. A lot of racing coming up this weekend, of course, the Indianapolis 500, and the Coca-Cola 600. I'm not sure. I've seen Formula One races in Monaco. I thought that that was scheduled for next weekend because I know for years I've gotten up and watched the F1 race and then the Indy 500 and then the Coca-Cola 600 in the conclusion of the evening. So a lot of racing in store for us. Make sure you go check out your local dirt track. Make sure you support your local racetrack. Get to talking, get the buzz around, share this show. We'll be back here next Monday night for Race Chat Live. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
Good night, guys.
And you have been listening to Race Chat Live. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Where's the net? Where's the net? Oh, here it is.
Just a good old boy. Never mean it,
never
no
mean
harm.
No harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, planting the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy. Wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
That is my favorite song. Good night, y'all.